Okay. Good evening, Yerev Tov. Yesterday, we began to discuss Simen Kuf Nun Hei in Shulchan Aruch HaRechayim. The title of that Simen, Leilech Mibes HaKnesses Lebes HaMedrash. And the focus of the shir was essentially on the Bir Halacha, the very beginning of the Simen, who talks about Berovam Haras Melech, learning B'chabura, communal Torah learning. And the Mishnah Berurah indicates that clearly the greater the number of people who are involved, and I gave several examples of what I grew up under the ambience of a Chevra Shas, a Chevra Mishnayis. Mishnah Berurah refers to the Gemara in Brachas and Samach Gimel, the Psukim in the Techocha, Haske, Sushma, Yisrael, and we elaborated on that in terms of Hayom Hazeh Ni'esa La'om, the concept of Arebus, of Kol Yisrael Arebus El Hazeh. We spoke about two different covenants, the Bris of Sinai, the Bris of Arbus Moab, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the first parak, where Klal Yisrael became Arevim once we crossed the Yarden. So that concept of Arevus is relevant to teaching Torah, where Klal Yisrael are Yoshim, Agudos, Agudos, Ve'oskin Batorah. And that's the minhag, the Mishnah Berurah says, V'chala Kehilos, where people gather together to listen to a Rebbe, to learn Torah together. So I wanted to add one Nekuda, which I heard many years ago from Hagoyin Harav Devensol Shlita. He pointed out that on Yom Tiv, there's a mitzvah b'samachta b'chagecha, well known to all of us. The Gemara says that different individuals are misamech in different ways. There's an obligation for a husband to purchase for his wife a maton on Yom Tiv. That's a din daraisa, b'samachta b'chagecha. Generally, the male folk, ain't simcha el b'basa v'yayin. They say the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. That's apparently a popular kind of idiom. And then children, kloyos ve'agoyzim, probably the ante has been raised today considerably. Most likely today they'll probably want a trans ham or something along those lines. So I can imagine dor-dor v'darshav, dor-dor v'tfiyosav, dor-dor v'tzvachav. But clearly, the obligation of a samachta b'chagecha, the Torah already underscores that this mitzvah, the Torah specifically says, it mentions to help the Levi, the Ger, the Yosef, the Almana. Everyone has to feel the joy of Yom Tov. And the assumption being that if there's a Jew somewhere who is not happy, that detracts from our own personal joy. So I asked Hagoyin Rav Devensol Shlita, is this also the pshat in the Gemara in Ma'ikotna? The Gemara tells us that there's no avelus on Yom Tov. The Gemara provides the rationale. Osi yaseh de rabbi medochi yaseh de yochid. Namely, the obligation of a samachta b'chagecha overrides the pasuk in Yirmiyahu that Rashi cites. Eivel yochid asiloch. So even though the individual is mechuyim in avelus, the avelus is chal on Yom Tov, we defer it till after the chag, till after Yom Tov. Because of the v'samachta b'chagecha. So the question I asked him is a very simple one. The Gemara says that the private mitzvah of mourning one's love does not supersede the public mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov. Why should that be? Why can we say that that individual, that Abel, has a mitzvah of Avelus that's chal on him, and the rest of Klal Yisrael is commanded to rejoice, commanded to be besimcha? Why can we somehow drive a wedge between the two? Each one has their own individual obligations. And so Hagoyin Rav Devensol Shlita told me that's exactly the same yesod. If a single Jew is not rejoicing, then it detracts from the joy of every single fellow Jew in the world. Asim chasyamtav cannot be complete if there's one Jew, Rachman al-Islan, ba'avelus. That's what the Gemara means. Osi yaseh derabim, v'doch yaseh diyochid. And that's based on the same yesod, namely the yesod of Arevus, kol yisrael Arevim, zelozeh. So I just wanted to add to that discussion that we had yesterday in the Shir in Siman Kuf Nun Hei. And now I would like to focus on another element that the Mishnah Berurah clearly is talking about. This Bir Halacha, which I mentioned that the Bir Halacha actually resonates from the entire Siman. The first Bir Halacha, the last Bir Halacha, and in the middle of the Mishnah Berurah himself, indicates and speaks about this obligation that people should gather together in the Bati Medrash to learn Bechabura, to be Kovei to Matorah. But it's clear the Mishnah Berurah himself cites the Tana Dvei Eliyahu in the first Bia Alocha. We referred to it yesterday in the Shir. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Nosi Panon B'Yisrael Shehin Melamdim Es HaTorah B'Yoshim Agudas Agudas V'Yoskim B'Torah. The mitzvah seems to be the obligation of teaching Torah. So I wanted to comment on a famous Rambam, which always intrigued me, the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah. The Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah, when he presents the dinim in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Talmud Torah, we know that the Rambam generally has a koteret. He has at the introduction, he tells you how many mitzvahs asay, how many mitzvahs lo asay there are. So here he tells you that there are several prokim in Hilchos Talmud Torah, and in the prokim of Talmud Torah, there are two essential mitzvahs, two mitzvahs asay. One is Lilmot Torah, and the second is Lechavid Melamdecha V'Yodecha, to honor those that teach Torah and those that are knowledgeable in Torah. And essentially, in the first three prokim, that's what the Rambam actually talks about. And the latter prokim, the Rambam speaks about Kavod HaTorah. So here he has two mitzvahs, to learn Torah and to be Mechavid Melamdecha V'Yodecha. Those are the first four prokim, and the last three deal with Kavod HaTorah. If you examine the Rambam carefully, you'll notice something which is fairly evident. The Rambam begins in the first seven halachas, and he discusses, number one, those individuals that are exempt technically from learning Torah. He speaks of Noshim, Ktanim, Avodim, have a technical tour of Talmud Torah, even though it's well known that women say the Bracha Brichas HaTorah, that's the Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch, and the Magen Avraham, and the Mishnah Berurah there point out because they're obligated to learn the halachas that are relevant to them. They're also chayiv minimally in the Korban Tamid. So the tour is because it's a technical tour. The Gemara derives from a pasuk, "V'imadatim osam es b'neichem below b'noseichem." And then he goes on. The Rambam and Halacha Aleph tells you that a young child, of course, his father is obligated to teach him Torah. The Rambam refers to the psukim in Sefer Dvarim in Kriyat Shema, "V'imadatim osam es b'neichem l'dabrei bo." But if you read the language of the Rambam, in all these first seven halachas, the focus is on lilamei Torah, teaching of Torah. He says a woman is chayav lilamei esbeno. Ein yaisha. A woman is not chayav lilamei esbeno. She kol chayav lilmo, chayav lilamei. And since a woman is not chayav lilmo, technically she's not chayav lilamei. He goes on in halacha base that the obligation is not just towards one son, but towards one's grandchildren as well. He quotes Sukim in Veschanan, Vehodatan levanecha levanecha. That pasuk according to the Ramban has both in it a mitzvah say and a mitzvah lo say, not to forget the Maimon Har Sinai experience, and mitzvah kol chochacham b'Yisrael l'lamid is kol ha-talmidim. Even though members of Klal Yisrael are not my children, I'm obligated to teach them. The Rambam goes on in Halacha Gimel and continuing the obligation to hire a malamid to teach. So essentially all these first series of halachas deal with the obligation l'lamid Torah, to teach Torah. Suddenly in Halacha Ches, the Rambam then formulates the following din. He writes in Perek Aleph Hilchos Talmud Torah, Halacha Ches, Kol Ish Miyisrael Chayiv B'Talmud Torah, Bein Oni, Bein Oshir, Bein Sholem B'Gufo, Bein Bal Yisurim, irrespective of one's economic, socioeconomic situation, irrespective of the challenges that each one of us confront on an ongoing basis, people healthy, people not healthy, wealthy, indigent, impoverished, bein bal yisurim, bein bocher, bein shayazokin, godol shetosh hashkocho, afil oni ha-misparez min ha-stoko, even someone with family responsibilities, chayav likvo lozman le-Talmud Torah bayom v'alayla. He's obligated to establish fixed times during the day to learn Torah, both by day and by night, shenem v'agis v'yom v'alayla. This Rambam is a bit of a pellet. The first seven halachas, he told us very clearly, there's an obligation to teach Torah, and obviously in order to teach Torah, one has to learn Torah. It's a means to an end. Limud HaTorah is a hechsher in order to be Malami Torah. And now suddenly the Rambam, here in Halacha Ches, suddenly appears what seems to be almost like a preamble to a new discussion. And that discussion has to do with the fact that everyone is obligated to learn Torah, to be Kovei Tamat Torah. And the Rambam goes on in the rest of the perek, and speaks about what seems to be a somewhat different tone than the first seven halachas that he discussed, where there he's talking about the obligation of teaching Torah, lil lamed Torah, who is obligated, who is exempt. And now he speaks about a new mitzvah, the mitzvah of being koveya, itim, for the purpose of limud Torah. The Mishnah Berurah here in Kufnun Hay, as we noted yesterday, simply based on the Mechaber. Mechaber writes in Sif Aleph, v'yikba es lilmo. It has to be a kvius. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Gemara in Shabbos, that loss of love was person is going to be asked, kavati itim la Torah, and one should be koveya right after davening. And then the Mishnah Berurah goes on, a bit later in the Bia Halacha in Sifkot and Dalid, he tells you that you should make sure that that Zman, that your koveya should be a fixed time during the day. And the Mishnah Berurah tells you that a person who osa tarasu itim, he doesn't learn both in kavua, but rather he learns in a choppy kind of way. So the Mishnah Berurah says that that's something which is inappropriate, and once you try to establish during the day a fixed period of time, and if one cannot somehow, because of circumstances that are unavoidable, cannot be koveya, so the Mishnah Berurah says it should be a chov, and there's a din of piron chov. The Gemara says in Ksuv is piron chov mitzvahi. This is also a chov. It's also an obligation. And therefore you should be mashlim at nighttime. He quotes the Gemara in Erev and Samachay that Rav Acha bar Yaakov, he would, during the day, that was his fixed time, but he wasn't able to do it. He then would go ahead and take care of whatever chov he had at nighttime. And he writes, the Mishnah Berurah at the end of Sivkot and Dalad, v'kosu achronim, shele olam kodim sheyetze v'samed yishachris, afilm ero la'oneh shele yuchal ilmo v'kviyas, yilma ha'kolponim posigecha do halacha achas. So this idea of kviyas is a very significant din. That's how the Rambam defines the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The term likvora, of course, means to fix a period of time. There's a lashon of the Gemara, which is mashma, that even the idea of kviyas carries with it the notion of stealing time. The person has to somehow find whatever opportunity he has and try to be koveya, try to fix that into his schedule. It should be in place there, I would say even perhaps entombed in his schedule, if you will, to the extent that that becomes a kviyas for the individual. So the Rambam quoted this halacha here in Perek Aleph Hilchos Talmud Torah in Halacha Ches. He doesn't bring it at the very beginning. Question is why? Why did the Rambam initially focus on the idea of lilamei Torah, and then suddenly the Rambam seems to veer from the course and once again rearticulate the obligation to be koveya to Torah? He already essentially indicated the massive areas of halacha that deal with teaching Torah to others and those that are exempt from Talmud Torah. So we are, as I said, perplexed why the Rambam now feels again the need to reiterate that every single Jew, called Ishmi Yisrael, chayav in Talmud Torah. And as I mentioned, it would seem from the Rambam that the Rambam apparently is articulating there as a dual element regarding Talmud Torah. The first seven halachas the Rambam is talking about who is exempt, who is obligated, and essentially the Rambam is telling you how to go about acquiring knowledge of Torah, the methodology that's involved in acquisition of Torah, the kinyan of Yediyas HaTorah, and therefore there's no question that that requires enormous amount of expending of energy and effort. From Halacha Ches, the Rambam seems to be moving in a different direction. He's telling you that Talmud Torah is not simply an intellectual kind of pursuit, but the Rambam now is speaking about not so much the what of Talmud Torah, but the how of Talmud Torah. And I once heard my Rebbe, Hagoyin Moran Harav Soloveitchik Zatzal, also asked this question, and he presented the two facets of the Rambam in the following way. First, he referred to Gemara Sahedna Daf Zayin. The Gemara has a famous comment, Amar Rav Hamnuna, Ein Tchilas Dino Shel Adam Nidon El Adibrei Torah. When a person is going to be judged, he will be judged in terms of his commitment to the study of Torah. The Gemara quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, Poter Mayim Reishis Madon. Tosfos on the spot asks the question, how could it be when we have the Gemara in Shabbos that the Mishnah Berurah just quoted in Daf Lamed Aleph, that we ask a person in Lasad Lavo a series of questions? One is, Nasasa v'nasata be'emunah, were you honest in business? Number two, Kavati itim la'Torah, that's the question that the Mishnah Berurah raises. So Tosfos distinguishes between the two sugyas, the sugya in Sanhedrin and the sugya in Shabbos, because one is referring to a person who's osik b'Torah, but lo kova itim b'Torah. He didn't establish fixed times for the study of Torah. And here we're talking about where he wasn't osik b'Torah b'chlal. That's one approach. Or Tosa suggests the second approach. First, we ask him about maso mato be'emuna, but initially the thrust of the din is going to revolve around divrei Torah. So it would seem that these two questions that the Gemara poses in Shabbos, namely nasasa v'nasata be'emuna, and secondly the question of liman haTorah, and there's a question which one is first. But from Tosfos it's clear that both of these questions relate to Talmud Torah. Another, number one was the nifter, the person who's about to leave this world. Did he fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? And secondly, was he kovei itim haTorah? And the key is kviyas itim haTorah. And that's what the Rambam stresses, starting from Halacha Ches. So what is the Rambam talking about? And how do we understand the Gemara that seemed to connect the idea of nasasa v'nasata be'emuna to the idea of being kovei itim haTorah? So as Soloveitchik suggested, there are two elements in Talmud Torah. One element, of course, is the intellectual element. Obviously, a person is completely governed by one seichel. When one approaches Talmud Torah, it has to be conceptual, has to be analytic, has to be systematic, has to be an attempt to plummet the depths of the Torah, to understand it, its highways and byways, literally to go to detail, minutia. That is an intellectual kind of gesture. And undoubtedly, a person who learns Torah does so with Iyun, does so with Bikias. That's Mitzad Echad. But there's another aspect of Talmud Torah that in many respects is probably even more significant. And that's the experiential, emotive aspect of Talmud Torah. That is the aspect of Talmud Torah, which is not simply an obligation that I fulfill and implement, but it's a spiritually exhilarating experience that's indispensable, that cannot be waived, that brings a person closer to Hashem Yisbarach. The Keser Torah that a person acquires from intensive Limud HaTorah will in effect bring about a higher level of Kedusha that will hover over the individual who can be zochet to the crown of Torah. Torah is a mifgash, is an encounter, is a dialogue, is an intimate meeting with Hashem Yisbarach. The element of Talmud Torah here is not the intellectual focus, but to be kovei itim haTorah. As the Mishnah Berurah said, even a minimalistic amount of time, one is yotzei, this element of being kovei itim haTorah. We see this from a number of statements in Chazal. The Gemara has a number of times in reference to Yeshua ben Nun. Yeshua was, of course, not just the man of Yisrael, he also was the chief general in the Marochot of Milchama, and he was involved in Kibbutz Haaretz, in conquering Eretz Yisrael. And the most difficult moments where he was heavily involved, so he was the one who received the tzav, v'hagisa v'yom v'layla. The Rambam quotes that pasuk, which is in Perek Aleph Sefer Yehoshua, the obligation to be hogi b'Torah ba'ofen kavua, even during times of great tension, even times where, God forbid, one is involved in milchama, of course, with Yeshua's milchemes mitzvah, kibush haaretz, and we know Yeshua is taken to task. And by Yolan Shem Balayla, who the Gemara says, Bilan, Mikan, Shalom, Ba'imko, Shalalocha. Because the Gemara comments several times in Shas. The Gemara mentions this idea, and the question was, on what did the Malach come? And the answer is, he came for Bittel Torah, or if you will, the Bittel of Kriyas Itam Torah. That was the issue. That was what Yeshua was mandated. So we're talking about an aspect of Talmud Torah that obviously is kosher to Emuna, that's kosher to ethics, that's kosher to values, that's connected not simply to the intellectual, analytic, seichel diga aspect of Torah, but more, if you will, the regish of Torah. I always thought that these two elements are embedded in the two formulations of Aseres HaDibros. The one in Yisra was the cognitive, normative element of Torah, and the one in Eschanan refers to the regish of Torah, the experiential element of Torah. So we have two different aspects. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is very demanding of a person. It requires focus, requires study, requires ha'amoka, hasmoda, in-depth analysis, requires diligence, industriousness. However, at the end of the day, of course, it's all worthwhile, incredibly worthwhile, because I have a chance to quote the Rav Soloveitchik in many contexts, to have a date with the Shechina, a romantic encounter with Hashem Yisbarach. And that is a journey, which of course is never ending. A journey all of one's days on earth. It's an odyssey of emunah, an odyssey of dveikus. And that's something which of course, only through Talmud Torah, that is how one is able to accomplish. So the Rambam, he contended, the first seven halachas, the Rambam is focused on essentially levels of Torah knowledge, how one acquires it, who is exempt, who is obligated, and the like. More a technical kind of issue. Mashenkim Malach Echest, then the Rambam, he feels and felt, the Rambam here is talking about this second element of Talmud Torah, namely the connection to Hashem Yisbarach. And there, the great intellectual, the great Talmud Chacham, the one who's gifted with many, many kishronos, who suddenly, from an intellectual standpoint, could come to a much higher level than a simple Jew who doesn't have those kinds of kishronos. However, regarding the second level, we're all equal. There's no distinction. No distinction in terms of socioeconomic situation, individuals in straitened circumstances operating with tremendous strain, tremendous angst, tremendous stress, with all types of issues. There, the criterion is no longer kishronos. The criterion is to be koveit in la Torah lefum tzaira agra. Depending on the effort that a person expends, here there's no distinction. And even in ani hamispanis menat stokom and mechazer al apsochim, and individuals who encounter and confront difficulties on an ongoing daily basis or under tremendous pressure, all types of pressure, they also have the same chelek as the greatest lamdin, as the greatest gadol b'Torah, lefum tzaira agra. And this is bound up with the mitzvah of emunah, and therefore there are two different aspects of Talmud Torah. Salvechi once commented in another context on what seemed to be a contradiction between the Rambam and Mishnah Torah and the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs. In one context, he says the mitzvah is leida, intellectually, to have cognition of Hashem Yisbarach. And in the other nusach, he writes lahamin, that the idea of emunah, these are two separate aspects, and these two aspects are embedded here in the Rambam Hilchos Talmud Torah as well. So it could very well be that the Mishnah Berurah, as I indicated, focuses on this kviyas itim la-Torah. And that's what the Rambam is speaking about over here, when the Rambam talks from Halacha Ches to the end of the Perek, he speaks about the second aspect of Talmud Torah, which is not so focused on lilameid, but rather focused more on being koveh itim la-Torah. It's very fascinating. As I mentioned, I was always intrigued by the fact that the Rambam came out in every halacha, in the first eight halachas, till Halacha Ches rather, he constantly focuses on the mitzvah of lilameid. There are really two psukim in Chumash. There's one pasuk in the parsha of Kriyat Shema in Ekev that we say every day. That's going on the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, that one is obligated to teach one's Talmidim. And the parsha of Eschanan, the Rambam alludes to it over here, the obligation of limud divrei Torah, that each person is chayav lilmo la'atzmo. Question is, are these two separate parshios, or is it a chilek, two chalokim of one mitzvah? And the Rambam begins his Talmud Torah by telling us the obligation of a father, lelamid es beno, the obligation on kol chochem v'chochem v'yisrael, lelamid es kol ha-tamidim. And only in Halacha Gimel, the Rambam says that if someone's father did not teach him Torah, chayav lelamid es atzmo. What a striking lashon. The Rambam should have said, chayav lilmod. Why does the Rambam say, chayav lelamid es atzmo? Kishe yakir, and the Rambam calls the pasuk in Vashanon, ulamadatim osam, ushmaratim asosam. No, the Rambam is makdim, the obligation, lelamid la'acherim. That's how he begins the Hilchos Talmud Torah, before he speaks about the obligation to learn himself. How could the Rambam possibly do that? The Seder has been inverted. And also, as I mentioned, when the Rambam says, Mishula linda oviv chayiv lelamid asatzmo, he should have said, chayiv lilmo ba'atzmo. Someone who was not, didn't have the schus of being taught by his parents, is obligated to learn himself. Why does the Rambam say, chayiv lelamid ba'atzmo? And he continues in Halacha Dalet, shekashem shemitzvah lo lelamid esbeno, kachu mitzvah lelamid esatzmo. What kind of language is that? The Rambam was so precise, so succinct, so careful with his language, and yet the whole focus of the entire parak, these first seven halachas, are on the lamid esatzmo. And there's one, I think, inexorable conclusion that one has to come to. There's no other way that one could possibly understand the Rambam. It's clear that the Rambam holds the Ika mitzvah Talmud Torah is the lamid la'achirah. The primary and preeminent mitzvah Talmud Torah is to teach others. The fact that one has to learn oneself is, of course, a Hechsher mitzvah. If one does not learn Torah oneself, one cannot teach others. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Kasheit da'atzmecha v'achaga kasheit acherim. You want to be able to teach Torah to others, you first have to be yourself adorned. You have to be adorned with the keser of Torah. So in effect, if one does not learn oneself, one cannot teach others. And the Rambam in Halacha Gimel, when he mentions Misha Lalimdo Aviv, someone whose father did not teach him Torah, is obligated, says the Rambam, Lilamed esatzmo kishe yakir, when it comes to that recognition, to that hakara, Shenemar, Ulamadatim osam, Ushmatim alsosam, the pasuk in Voeschanon, the Chena Tamotzi, the Cholmotom, Shatalmud Kodul the Maise, the Shatalmud Megul de Maise, Vena Maise Megul de Talmud. And here also, the Mefarshim ask on the Rambam, Ma Kesher, what is the Rambam here introducing? Talmud Megul de Maise. The Rambam should have juxtaposed that with the idea of the obligation of Lilma Batzmo. So apparently, there are two aspects of Talmud Torah when one learns on one's own. Number one, the chiyuv to teach others. And number two, the chiyuv to learn yourself, because that will lead you to day ma'aseh. And that's why the Rambam over here brings Talmud Megillah day ma'aseh. That itself is a separate mechayev of Talmud Torah. There are two mechayev of Talmud Torah. One is the obligation, lilamid la'acherim, to teach others. And the second, the chayev of Talmud Torah, is to learn yourself in order to know what to do in a practical kind of sense. It's interesting, the Rambam in the beginning, in Halacha Aleph, when he says, Ve'ino isha chayev salamin es bino, shekol ha-chayev lilmod, chayev lilamed. It's exactly what the Rambam has in mind. That since she's potter from lilmod, she's also potter milalamed. The whole chayev of lilmod is lilamed, is a means to an end. And the ultimate end, according to the Rambam, is lilamed Torah la'achirin. And the whole heter of learning Torah is because I have a chayev lilamed. That's the din. Lilmod amanas lilamed. The lilamed is
matir. Why are you calling it a heter lilmod?
I mean, a heter in the sense of matir. The ikra mitzvah is the mitzvah of lilamed. That's what the Rambam also calls in halacha dalet. Take a look, Rabbi Feinberg in halacha dalet. He tells you also lilamed bischar. What the Gemara has a number of times, because in effect, the idea of being malamed, that gives you the permission, the dispensation. First, you have to learn. The whole limud is b'tznai l'lamed l'acherim. So you can't take schar for that which you are being malamed l'acherim. That you're not allowed to do.
Heter as far as financial.
Yes, in financial sense, correct. I mean, the reason why a Rebbe is able to take schar, we know because schar batola, and the Gemara actually has the Mishnah b'cheres, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that kashet zivani Hashem Elokoi, ma'ani b'chinam, ma'fatem b'chinam. This is also part of imetat yodei, the Gemara in Seitan, Yudalid. Mahu mevakecholim avatot vakecholim. Mahu menachem avelim avatot menachem avelim. Or the way Soloveitchik Zatzal was fond of saying, Mahu beire v'yetzi olomos avatot tivro. Just like Hashem is creative, you should also be creative. You should also be Mahu mechadesh avatot echadesh. He's mechadesh, you should also be mechadesh. I remember that many years ago, I used to attend a shiur that Rav Soloveitchik gave in a shul in Manhattan, in Moriah. I went there for about 13 years, and there sat a master Talmud Chacham who happened to be also the doctor of Rav Soloveitchik, Zecher Livracha. So he told me the following story, which was very, to me, a spectacular story for a number of reasons at a number of levels. He said when he went as a student, and he was in medical school, so he wanted to, he was trying to figure out what area of medicine he should enter. So he asked three Gedolei Yisrael. He went to Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, HaGoyin Rav Moshe, the Gadol HaDor, and he asked the Baal Yigus Moshe what area of medicine he should enter. Rav Moshe right away told him, you should enter the area of medicine where there will be minimal Chilul Shabbos. Rav Moshe Feinstein, the great Pesek, was concerned about Chilul Shabbos, so he asked him what area, what he suggests. He said, radiology, become a radiologist. You don't really have to do anything but look at screens, and it hasn't really changed much. I mean, the field of radiology has changed drastically. Today, there are diagnostic radiologists who help surgeons do surgery, and I'm involved with a number of radiologists, so I'm familiar with it. But that's what the Igus Meisha told him. He then went to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and the Lubavitcher Rebbe told him, you should enter an area of medicine where you'll be able to enhance those people who have low self-esteem, be able to help mankind in terms of covered hodom, covered abrius. He said, what area should that be? Become a dermatologist. People often with skin issues The Lubavitcher Rebbe told him, often have self-esteem issues. Try to enter that area. And then he went to Rav Soloveitchik, and Rav Soloveitchik told him, you should push the frontiers of medicine forward. You should discover cures for cancer, new therapies, new technologies. You should somehow become involved in the creative gesture. You should be a mechadish in the area of medicine. So this chiddush is what we are talking about over here. But anyway, Hayotzi, we called Vareinu, that this element, according to the Rambam, the key element is the element of lelamed la'achirim. That's the key mitzvah of Talmud Torah, the mitzvah of teaching Torah to others. I always say this only because the Mishnah Berurah actually
what was the answer thereof? What was the tchum they could push the most?
He did not actually delineate the tchum. That's what he told me. This doctor at the end, he became an internist. He was actually a master Talmud Chacham and also a tremendous doctor as well. He was Soloveitchik's doctor for a fair number of years. The focus of this discussion was primarily because of the Mishnah Berurah's quoting this Tana Dvel Yehu, that the reason why Hashem is noisei ponum b'Yisrael shekim melamne mesatera, because of this element of being melamid Torah, the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, Rav Soloveitchik, used to say that why is he a melamid? Because in Matati Odei, how do we describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaMelamid Torah, HaMo Yisrael, we say in the Brichas HaTorah every morning. So he's the melamid par excellence. We have to, in our own minimalistic kind of way, also attempt to engage in the Matati Odei. Mahu melamid Torah l'am Yisrael, afanachto melamid Torah l'am Yisrael. So in effect, we also, this is in Matati Odei, mahu afato, essentially what the Mishnah Berurah is focusing on. I want to just, if I'm able to this evening, just now mention something else which struck me and aroused my pique. In Sifkot Gimel, the Mishnah Berurah here in Kuf Nun Hei tells you, what is a person obligated to learn every day? So he writes, Chayav Adam Lilmo B'chol Yoyim Torah Shebichsav. Shehu Tanach U'Mishnah U'Gemara U'Peskin. Wow, what a statement. So the first item is Torah Shebichsav, Tanach. So I would like to, if I may, spend more than a few moments discussing this issue. As Yeshiva Bacher in Chutz Aretz, Tanakh was not too popular. I have to be honest. When we started learning Ablat Gemara in fifth grade, we learned the Elam Metzias, and we learned some Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, in the course of time, and we continued as we went on, but very little Tanakh. I had a Rebbe in eighth grade in Odom Godel Ma'ed. I didn't know that. I was an eighth grader, wet behind the ears from every respect. Harav Sharashevsky, Zichat Zadik Divracha, was an Amir Yeshiva. He learned in Shanghai. He was an Adam Godel. I didn't realize how many Anashim Gedolim I had in the first few grades of parochial school in my life. I didn't have a clue. He told us the following story. When he came to Ellis Island, and that was the port where immigrants would come from all over to enter the United States, to be able to become citizens. So he came to the port of Ellis Island, and he only spoke one language, and that was Yiddish. Of course, he spoke Lashon HaKodesh as well. So the clerk at Ellis Island says to him, what do you plan on doing in the United States? This clerk spoke to him in Yiddish, clearly a Jew, and he was, as he discovered, a maskil, that he discovered very quickly. This goes back many, many decades. So he said, what do you plan on doing? He said, what do you mean? I learned in the Mir Yeshiva. Clearly, I'm going to be a Malamit. I'm going to teach Torah to Am Yisrael. So he said, okay, let's see if you have the wherewithal and the requisite knowledge to be a Malamit. So he said, go right ahead. You can ask me. He said, I would like to ask you to translate a pasuk in Tanakh for me, but translate it word for word. So he was a little taken aback. He said Tanakh was not exactly his area of expertise. He knew a lot of Tanakh because anytime you quote him a pasuk, he'd tell you it's in Balabasra, it's in Zvochim, it's in Hurios, it's in Krisos. He'd tell you the Gemara where that pasuk is found. But he never really learned Tanakh in a formal kind of way. So the fellow asked him the following pasuk. He said, I'm going to ask you from something that you're very familiar with, Megillas Esther. Translate the following pasuk. Every word I want you to translate. Chur karpas uscheles. Mitos al Bahat Vashesh Vidar Visakharis. So he said, let's start with Sakharis. Translate the word Sakharis. Bahat. Now, if someone were to ask me what Bahat means, I would probably have to tell you it's some Indian tribe. I don't have a clue what Bahat is. Dar. So he told us, he began to schwitz. He was sweating bullets. He thought he would not get into the United States. So the fellow tells him, Rebbe, you can do a whole day, no problem, as much time as you need, but I want every single word translated. So he told me, approximately 11 hours there till he finally put it all together. He then took upon himself a Kabbalah that because he got into the United States, he's going to take upon himself to know Tanakh al Burio. When I met him in grade 8, which is many decades ago, he knew the entire Tanakh, Mila B'Mila. Forget about Shas. That was another Pashut, that he knew Shas inside out. But Tanakh, literally, Lama Nikru HaVishayim Seifim, Shayusayim Ka'el Shabbat Teirah. I remember when I came to Eretz Yisrael, and I initially decided I need someone to be Madrich me, to be Mechavi me. So Baruch Hashem, after a period of time, I got to know Hagoyim, Avid Nevzal Shlita, over 2 decades already. And one of the things he told me, he says, have you learned Tanakh? So right away I quote him a Gemara. What do you mean Tanakh? It says, Minu B'nechem Ha'igoyim, the Gemara in Brachos. So right away on the spot, he tells me the Rashi on that Gemara. Rashi says, you probably only read the first 3 words of Rashi, Al Tagilun B'mikra. But Rashi has 2 other words, Yosef Midai. That's how Rashi adds at the end of that explanation. So I didn't even know the Rashi Bechlal, but I knew Minu B'nechem Ha'igoyim, that Tanakh is not something that you have to become involved in. And he told me I should start learning Tanakh. And since then, Baruch Hashem, I learned Tanakh Bavli Kavua on a daily basis. And then I discovered years ago already this Mishnah Berura, who tells you, Chayav Adam Lilma B'chol Yom Torah Shebichsav Shu Tanakh. Many years ago, I used to go to Torah Masorah conventions. The only one here who has any concept of that is probably Rabbi Weishlita. So Torah Masorah conventions were, they have essentially, and maybe Rabbi Shua probably heard of them, they have, it's an educational network that has many, many yeshivas and institutions under their rubric. So I used to come primarily because I wanted to hear the Gdol Yisrael. I wanted to hear them speak, and I was zecha to hear Hagoyin Moran, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal, many, many times on Motzei Shabbos he used to speak. So I always thought the first time I went to hear him, he's going to say a shir in some sugya, some quaint sugya that I don't have a clue what it's all about. At the end, he always spoke on Tanakh and discovered this man also was among the Seifrim, show you Seifrim called Oseh Sheba Tanakh. He knew every single letter of Tanakh. I'm not exaggerating. You take a look at his Seifrim, Tithin Emes Yaakov, you see that very clearly. His knowledge of Tanakh is absolutely prodigious, phenomenal. I can't even know how to describe it. And in the course of meeting him, I met him in one very famous meeting that my Rebbetzin and I, Baruch Hashem, had the great schuss in 1983 to meet him. And we were there for about an hour and a half. And he also then told me as well, he thinks it's kedai for me to learn Tanakh. It's a good thing. And you won't lose out. As a result of learning Tanakh, he said, all the yesodos in Musar Nashkafa I found in Tanakh. And he quoted to me from many, many Rishonim. So here the Mishnah Berurah says explicitly the obligation to learn Tanakh. So that's what I would like to speak about a little bit, if you don't mind. And some of the things I'm going to say over, I heard from Hagoyin Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. I even asked him, I came with a yellow pad. And I asked him, can I take notes when he's speaking? He spoke in Yiddish. And I wrote down that which I heard from him, a lot of things I heard from him. He quoted me a lot from the Bi'ur Agroh. The Vilna Gaon actually comments that essentially, if one wants to learn properly and one wants to know properly Torah, one has to learn, of course, Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaalpeh. But the Vilna Gaon says that all of Torah Shebaalpeh is found in Torah Shebichtav. The yisod of everything is Torah Shebichtav, is the Tanakh. And Abchaim Balozhina, the Talmud Muvik of the Vilna Gaon, mentions that there was nothing in anywhere in Chazal, in Shas, in Midrashim, even in Seudos, in Historium, that don't have a remez in the Torah. And I'll read the language of Rav Chaim Elozhin. I went looking for it. It's in the Hakdama to the Shneis Eliyahu. He writes the following. He says, Kasher be'einenu zochinu lira sakol, zochinu l'sichosoi no, l'laki tachas shulchano, mole deshin parperosov, hamasbiim umedashnim nefesh hashomas, Mipiv Hakadosh Pile Plos, and it was all Ramuz B'Tanach al kol kotz v'kotz tile tilim. Everything's in Tanach. That's what the Goyim apparently held, that the entire Seder of Torah you could find in Tanach, in Torah Shebichsav, literally the entire Shisha Seder Mishnah, and the Goyim actually writes this a number of times, and I could actually cite to you, I went looking in the last few days to see this Yesod that the Goyim has, and we see this idea is mentioned also by others, also in the name of the Vilna Gaon. Amar Rabbeinu Zal, Shekol HaShisha Sudei Mishnah Remuzim Umudiyokim Heitev B'Torah Shebichsav. Shisha Sudei Mishnah have their makor in Torah Shebichsav. V'Rebi Sider HaMishnah Neged Lashon Shel Torah Shebichsav. V'Chol HaShas Romuz B'Shisha Sudei Mishnah. That's what the Gaon said. Everything has its makor in this Shisha Sudei Mishnah, which has its makor in Tanakh. And this is already mentioned by many, and I can give you a number of examples, and perhaps I shall in the next very short while, and perhaps we'll continue, Yetz Hashem, the next session. Even a minhag, the Goyim held, minhagim, that actually are now very popular, very anchored, and call yourself B'meshach HaDoros, so the Goyim found, literally, mekaris all these minhagim. For example, the minhag that's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, HaKoas Homon, B'Shas Kriyas HaMegillah, B'Sakneses. That's a very popular minhag. In one of the shuls that I was a rabbi in, they used to literally, what went on there was ki'ilu, there is no other mitzvah except for the mitzvah of Mechiyas HaMolek. That's the only mitzvah, daraisa, and it has clearly massive, massive repercussions. They would bring in street lights and all kinds of different raucous, cacophonous kind of musical instruments, massive amount of cacophony and noise. People came out, lost their hearing in the course of that Purim. So the Goyim said, there's a makor. What's the makor? V'hoya imbin hakos harasha. Sofei telos v'hoya. Hey, im, mem, bin, nun, oisi eis haman. And that's what it says, hakos harasha. This is a classic Vilna Goyim piece. And there are many other such examples. They say over actually that Rabbi Yitzhak Lomi Balozhin, the brother, actually the son of Rav Chaim Balozhin, so he went with Rav Chaim to visit the Goyim, and he was at that time 10 years old. When they came to the Goyim, they saw that the Goyim was Torahed in some issue, and they were afraid to go in. And finally, they asked the Goyim what exactly was the issue. So he said that, you know, he told Rav Chaim and his son, that there's no Maimon Chazal, that's not Romus in the Torah. So Chazal say, Vayoshev Hayom Le'esono. We know what Rashi actually quotes part of this in the Parsha B'Shalach. Vayashem Hayom Le'esono Se Chazal Litno Harisho. Now, Kodesh Baruch Hu made it Tanai with my separation is that the Yam will be Nikra. Yam is going to undergo Kriyas Yamsuf. So the Goyim says, I'm trying to figure out what the Remez for that Tanai is. Where is that Tanai? Rome was in the Torah. And at that moment, Rabbi Yitzhak Balozhin asked from his father permission, can he try to present a possibility to the Goyim? The Goyim right away said yes. And so Rabbi Yitzhak Balozhin said the following. In the Parsha Bereishis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yikomu hamayim mitachas hashamayim el mokom echad v'seirua hayabosha. So all the Rishon already asked this kasha. What is the language of v'seirua hayabosha? We understand very well. Achash yikomu hamayim el mokom echad, of course, v'seirua hayabosha. Then the dry land will be seen. Where till now, heretofore, there was water that was cascading, and now that the water is in one area, constrained in one area, of course there will be yabosha, dry land. So apparently it comes to teach you that on the mokom, on the place that now you cover ba'amayim, and in the future, teruah ba'yabosha, what is that? Yamsuf, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu already made a tzad, but call yourself that it's going to be nikrab, and maybe that yourself. That's what Rabbi Yitzhak Balozhin said to the Goyim, and apparently it found favor in the eyes of the Goyim, but the Yesod HaDvarim is, Hakol Romuz b'Tanach. Everything is found in Torah Shebichsav. Everything is found in Tanach. So essentially, one can actually probably see this as well, that the Goyim was a Boki in the Sefer HaTanach. And apparently once the Goyim was learning the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Hafoch Bo v'Hafoch Bo d'Kula Bo. So we generally understand that's referring to the Shas that we know. The Goyim said no. Hafoch Bo v'Hafoch Bo. That's the Sefer HaTanach. The Kula Ba, because everything is in Tanakh. Kol HaTorah Kula is all Romans in Tanakh. and the Gon saw a kol sifri Talmud, all the chiburim of Torah Shabbat Peh, hakol gonuz b'toch haTanach. So we'll just end with a comment of the Chayyadam, who's the Mechutin of the Vilna Gaon. The Chayyadam has a small sefer called Zichut Taras Moshe. Don't forget, the Chayyadam was a businessman. It's amazing. This businessman who wrote many, many svarim, and it was a Gaon in Halacha. So he writes in the Zichut Taras Moshe the following. Seder Alimut Shalom, he's talking about the Seder Alimut of his Mechutin, of the Vilna Gaon. With all the Torah Shabbat Peh, he saw the Torah Shabbat Peh. That's all in the Nigla section. And everything, all the cool Musim. Lo yuchlo devar ein kod shel dvarav ki chol dvarav heim beremozim v'tzorach biur gadol dvarav. And it's fascinating that the son of the Chayyadam also, and the Vilna Gaon actually also has again some famous members of his mishpacha, and they indicated he was sofer umeine oisya shabatela. He saw everything in the Tanakh, Babli, Yerushalmi, Sifra, Sifrei, Tosefta, and Mechilta. So all this, I just wanted to be maying in the language of the Mishnah Brura, who says here in Simen Kuf Nun Hey, the first item that a person has to learn on a daily basis is he has to learn Tanakh. And this was also cited to me by a Gaon Rav Avigdor Levinson Shlita when I met him many years ago. He referred me to this Kuf Nun Hey din of Mishnah Brura. The first item is Tanakh. And Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, we'll continue with the analysis of the Mishnah Brura, Kuf Nun Hey, Imitz Hashem, in the next probably 2 or 3 shiur.
Thank you, Ishmael.